You're listening to Dynamite Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, saints and sinners, you're listening to Dynamite Fallout with your hosts, Chuck Elite and Christian Killjoy, brought to you by World Generation Podcast Network. And now, Dynamite Fallout.
What's up? Welcome to the show, everybody. It's great of you to join us here on another episode of Dynamite Fallout each and every week, 1 hour after All Elite Wrestling. And we're here to catch you up on all the madness that is AEW. Welcome to the show, Christian from Philly. Christian Killjoy, what's going on, my friend?
I'm doing good, my brother. This has been a great, another decent episode of AEW Dynamite, in my opinion. Another decent one. I don't know how you feel about this episode tonight, but I got a pretty guess I'm going to find out, huh?
Well, you know, yeah, we will find out as we move on. So let's go ahead and get started with the show. And by the way, bro, let's get this started. This night started off on a high note. How about tonight with AEW revealing that Team Taz Taz actually. This came straight from the horse's mouth, revealing that there is no more Team Taz. Finally, you've been calling it for weeks, months even. No more Team Taz. How about that? It's finally common knowledge.
Well, they had no choice. The group sucked. I'm sorry. The people in it were great. Don't get me wrong. The people that were involved in the faction was great. But the faction itself sucked. They barely interacted with each other in promo segments. Taz didn't even barely interact with them anymore. So they had no choice but to end Team Taz. It wasn't working. It was never going to work. So they had no choice.
I could not agree more. So, yeah, I thought of you right then and then, brother, when Team Taz revealed that there would no longer be a Team Taz. He has nothing to do about it, so he has freed himself from the monster that he created. So let's move along, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see here. So tonight's episode came from Columbus, Ohio, no less. And
a better crowd, probably.
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio. So let's get right to the details of the show. We started out with a match right off the bat. Actually, I missed the beginning for some reason. I think I had my TV on the wrong channel. I mean, it was on the app, you know, the TBS app, but like it was still showing that damn show, dude. The one with the kids, man. You know,
Big Bang
with Sheldon and them. Yeah, with Sheldon and them. And I'm like, what the hell? It's like 4 minutes after already. You know, this shit's not right. So I finally got my shit together. There was some guys on the ramp. It was all a big deal going on. This was about 5 minutes in already, okay? So it was Best Friends were out there.
Yeah,
that's what it was. So it was Best Friends were out there. They were involved in the shit with Cassidy and Jay Lethal. And, you know, for some reason, bro, I got to tell you, I feel like Jay Lethal was going to be there to lose the match. It seems like every time I see him, when it matters, I hardly ever see this guy, right? But it seems like every time I do see him, he gets beat or pinned and everything. So it's like, I was expecting that to happen. And I was like, man, they really fucking put a rocket ship up Cassidy's ass. Then he fake injured himself during the match. I think we saw that last week at the pay-per-view with the women. on the WWE, or maybe the one before that, where somebody like fake injured. I think it was Liv Morgan fake injured her foot. Along same thing with the other one, Ronda Rousey also fake injured her foot. We got a lot of fake injuries going on, and Orange Cassidy makes me wonder if they were poking fun at that. But nevertheless, the match did not finish the way I thought it was. Jay Lethal, to me, it was an upset. I really did think that, you know, Jay Lethal was there to do the job for Cassidy. Christian, what are your thoughts on this match and Jay Lethal winning the match? Did you think that Cassidy was going to take the victory?
No. I did not think that the loser, Orange Cassidy, I did not think the biggest loser, Orange Cassidy, was going to be Jay Lethal. Because Jay Lethal lost in the retirement match of Ric Flair last Saturday. You know, he lost.
Yes.
I mean, Sunday, he lost the match. So there's no way they're going to have him lose to Orange Cassidy. Now, I'm glad Orange Cassidy loses because I'm not a fan of his, all right? Don't get me wrong. He's a good wrestler. But his gimmick fucking sucks. I don't get how his gimmick is so over. The guy does nothing. It's horrible. It's a horrible gimmick. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of him either. But I respect the guy. He's been wrestling, almost 20 years, I guess? Or I don't know. He's been wrestling a long time. So he's obviously had his bumps and everything and his lumps and shit. And I'm not going to say he doesn't deserve to be there, but what I will say is that there's a lot more talent in that locker room that I would rather see. Let's just put it like that, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be there, bro, or anything like that, but what I am saying is that I know for certain that there's plenty of talent back there in that damn locker room that I'd rather see than Orange freaking Castle. Nevertheless, he did the job. Jay Lethal emerges victorious after the match, though. Singh and Dutt come out to the ring. Dutt was trolling Jay Lethal before asking Jay Lethal for his thought in Wardlow. You know, after he stared down Lethal on Rampage. Did you see Rampage?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did, huh? I watched bits and pieces of Rampage. I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but this segment I did watch. Anyway, Lethal calls Wardlow out to the ring, you know, because he's going to lock in the figure four on Cassidy and break his leg. So unless if he, you know, wants that to happen, you know, Wardlow best get his ass on out to the ring. Best friends come down, though, and, of course, they're being, you know, trailed by Wardlow. So, of course, the bad guys, you know, bail out as usual. But Wardlow wasn't done. He calls, you know, for some action. But then the other guys say, no, it's not going to happen because, you know, Lethal just had a match, a 15-minute match, no less. So we're not going to do all that tonight. Christian, your thoughts on the afterwards shenanigans on that. Was it necessary?
I think it was necessary to get Wardlow TV time, so I think it was necessary to get him on TV. They announced that they're gonna fight each other at the Saturday show, the fucking Battle of the Belts 3, which, by the way, it's just an hour show. It's not really that good of a show to begin with because, you know, we all know none of these people are losing their titles. So to me, unfortunately, this is a pointless show. So that's my take on Battle of the Belts.
Ugh. Well, maybe they'll pull a surprise and we'll talk about it. But, yeah, you're already saying that it's not going to be anything special. So that's actually disappointing for me because here I was looking forward to it. I was actually excited, but the way you ran it down right now
The matches are going to be great, don't get me wrong, but I don't expect anybody to lose their belts on this show.
Yeah. And that's understood, buddy. So then we get the video package from Hook, you know, because he's the new FTW champion, by the way. And I heard some guys on the radio program that I listen to, and I'm not going to give them a shout-out because they're not that special. But a radio program that I listen to here in Houston during the day and whatnot, when time allows – they were talking about, you know, FTW and the term FTW. And so what does FTW mean right now? I want you to settle it for me right now. What does it mean right now, the current meaning of FTW?
Fuck the world.
Has it always, it's always meant fuck the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it meant, you know, when I was coming up, it meant FTW was fuck the world. I think Generation X invented it. You know, that comes from Generation X. That was the first time I ever heard of it. And I'm a Gen Xer, obviously, you know, but nevertheless, they were thinking, they never revealed what they thought it meant. Actually, some of them did. I don't remember what. Follow the wind, one of them said. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Follow the wind.
Yes, get the fuck out of here, bro. Are these guys that fucking, you know, that out of touch? I mean, I thought I was out of touch, but holy shit, man. Follow the fucking wind. Man, like, fuck, man. These guys are on the radio talking this nonsense. They're actually getting paid. Here I am doing this shit for the fucking love of it. And these motherfuckers are getting paid with this fucking follow the wind bullshit, bro. Imagine that.
Follow the wind. Follow
fucking
the
horrible,
wind.
Bro. Anyway, nevertheless, we get the video package of Hook winning the Follow the Wind title from Ricky Starks. And, yeah, that's right. I said that. Just fucking around. And then we go back ringside where the Undisputed Elite you know, comes out to the ring. And so we get the whole entrance with the boom, which, you know, Cole has become nothing more than an entrance lately. But I think he's back now. And so, you know, we'll see. Interestingly enough, I thought this was a great segment. We had a turn. Setting up what you've been saying all along, that Matt and Nick Jackson are going to win with Kenny Omega. Because you've been saying this. They're going to be the new, they're going to be the inaugural Trios champion. So setting that up by kicking Matt and Nick Jackson out of the Undisputed Elite. Is that what happened?
Yeah, they kicked them out because Adam Cole saw that Nick and Matt were trying to reconcile with Adam Page last week. And he talked about loyalty and all that, so he checked them out, and then Adam Page came out to make the save. So because Adam Page doesn't want to be with the Dark Order anymore, hopefully. But yeah, either it's Adam Page and the Young Bucks, or it's Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. It's either one of those two teams versus the Undisputed Elite.
So we get some shenanigans in the ring when they start attacking Matt and Nick Jackson. It was actually a good promo from, you know, Adam Cole. He's very capable of delivering. We already know this. But they launched an attack on the Young Bucks. Here's another, you know, subdivision of this gang, Red Dragon. So they launch an attack on the Young Bucks, or, you know, this other faction, or the Red Dragon. What the hell is the Red Dragon?
That's their tag team name.
And that's for Bobby Fish and the other guy?
Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly,
Kyle O'Reilly, there you go, Red Dragon. So, you know, they're doing all this and that. O'Reilly is choking out Nick Jackson, and Cole is dropping a super kick on Matt. And then next thing you know, start the shit, the cowboy shit, you know, because Hangman Adam Page's music fucking hits, and he comes running out to the ring with a pipe, no less, and he makes the save. Now, he turns to look at the Young Bucks, and that helps Matt up, you know, and he helps Matt up before, you know, taking off from the scene, you know, and going back out and getting a big pop and shit. But, dude, the thing, man, bro, the fucking blue jeans, bro, with the butterflies on them, what the fuck is this guy doing?
I don't fucking know. I don't know what was up with that. That was horrible.
He's bastardizing fucking cowboy jeans now, bro. Blue jeans. Just totally bastardizing them. Man. I don't know. I guess he's entitled to have butterflies on his fucking blue jeans if he wants, bro. But damn it, man. It makes me go, oh, man. This boy. But I digress. That's what it is. He's got butterflies on his jeans and possibly even up his ass. Who knows? So we have the situation going now where I like how they took that stupid, their stupid guy that's always spray tanning him too. They gave him a little beat down too. I forget his name, but you know the guy.
Brian Cutler.
And so the next thing you know, we go backstage. We have a segment backstage where Jon Moxley's back there pissed off because he always is. He's talking about how he doesn't care which one of them wins, you know, because it's going to be a match between Jericho and Yuta. And right away, I knew who was going to win this match when it was announced. I was like, oh, well, this is obviously going to be Chris Jericho. He already announced that they were going to have this match. There's no way they're going to take it from him. And sure enough, that's what ended up. Well, we'll get to that later. But we had the promo and Jon Moxley talking shit out there. And he talks about how they both should be ready when they step in the ring next week because he's very serious, you know. He's very fucking serious, bro. And man, I can't help but think how much he sounds like Michael fucking Hayes. He sounds just like fuck. Man, let me tell you about that, man. And from the shores of California to from the beaches of California to the shores of Maine, everybody knows the Freebird name. And he sounds he sounds just like fucking Michael Hayes. Have you ever thought of that? Did you ever get that?
Well, maybe because back in the 30s, maybe he was hanging out with Michael Hayes. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to be like Michael Hayes.
Maybe. But he's also got, he's also trying to be like Austin to me.
Yeah.
Bro, eventually he's going to shave his head. He's going to have to shave his fucking head, bro, eventually.
Yeah.
He's already, I mean, I don't know why he doesn't have it shaved already, first of all. But anyway, and he keeps the same fucking gimmick going, bro. It's Austin 2.0.
Yeah.
He might as well just start doing the fucking stunner and get it over with. But I digress. So Jon Moxley, it's been set next week. Well, we're going to get to that match here in a little while. But nevertheless, backstage, there's another segment where this happened earlier today. Christian Cage was talking with Shivani, and next thing you know, Jungle Boy comes ripping through in a little car and almost runs Christian Cage over.
He almost murdered the filthy Canadian.
Yeah, he almost murdered him. Almost did us all a favor. I might as well be like Christian Cage, huh? Give that boy some of his own medicine. He almost did us a favor by taking him out right then and there. But he didn't. Next thing you know, security came and dragged his ass out. And apparently he was supposed to be banned. They were saying arrest him. But, you know, that I guess it never happened. Or if it did, they didn't explain it. Of course, obviously it didn't happen. But, you know. So next thing you know, we have Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter coming out to the ring with some new girl. And
no, it's not a new girl. Her name is Rebel. She's been with them since the beginning.
Oh, my apologies. So Rebel.
It's not your fault. I don't blame you because she's new to you because she hasn't been on TV for fucking months.
Some new chick, right? And but anyway, Thunderstorm comes out. So we have Thunder Rosa on TV for a second week in a row. That was shocking. But of course, they're prepping her for what's coming. You know, the big push in September because she's from Mexico or what have you, and it's the big Latino week and month or whatever that they call it in September. So they'll make a big to-do about it. But anyway, that's incoming, impending, the impending push for September. So anyway, they're prepping that. But nevertheless, they go down swinging. And Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter pull it off at the end. What do you think about this match?
It was a great match between four women, even Thunder Rosa. It was a great match. It proved that, you know, the women's division AEW could be good if given time and enough people. It could be better.
Yeah, more people. They need more people.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good tag team match. The crowd loved it. So.
I watched it. I thought it was a decent match as well. It was good. Man, I tell you what, man, that freaking, is it Toni Storm that goes and swings herself and hits them in the ass and hits them in the face with their ass, crashes into them and crashes in. Oh, my God, dude, she looks like she's going to hurt somebody with that ass.
Yeah.
I mean, she's putting a fucking hurt on him. But nevertheless, she looked great doing it, too. So Thunderstorm go down in the end. And so that was that. I thought it was a decent match, too. So the winners were Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. And then we get some footage of Sammy Guevara and Tay Conti, who were in Paris, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were there and they showed this video or they were there now or something about Paris, the Eiffel Tower and shit.
They got an engagement a week ago.
Yeah, they're getting married, apparently. But then Eddie Kingston's crazy ass comes out, starts talking about how no one cares that they're getting married.
He's right. Nobody cares.
And he is right. Yeah. I mean, he's right. Nobody gives a shit. But he talks about them getting married, and he's got a contract, though. And it's already mailed out to Guevara. So he just needs to, you know, hurry up and get to that contract and get it going. We go to Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks from last week. We talked about that promo at length here on the show. Thought Ricky Starks did some decent work last week. I now know who these guys are by name, both of them.
Yeah.
So it worked. So it worked, bro. And so then they cut to the commentary, and Taz starts talking about how Team Taz is over. And I'm like, you're barely telling us this, bro? Fucking Christian's been fucking telling us for fucking weeks. And you're just, what's taking you so long?
I thought Team Taz was been over because they never fucking did a segment together with all the members together.
Yeah. So Powerhouse Hobbs comes out.
He faced the jobber.
Yeah. And I don't know who this jobber was, but he beat his ass. And of course, expected. I guess featuring Powerhouse Hobbs, nothing special here, nothing really, just showcasing what he can do as if we didn't know. Keeping him in the storylines, I guess.
And then I don't even know why we're doing jobber matches. We all know what he's capable of. I thought this was a waste of time.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, they could have put somebody that wasn't on TV on. I mean, or if they want to continue the storyline with them, continue it, but not like this. But then after the match, Ricky Starks came out and, you know, he got a little bit of offense in, but then Hobbs ended up taking him down, left Ricky Starks there, you know, the heel took out the baby face, and the baby face is seen. That's the last image we got of him, was like him, you know, clutching himself and holding his head up and shit, his hand and stuff. And so we're going to, apparently, you know, this is continuing the feud, obviously. Captain
Obvious.
All
out, probably.
Miro is then seen calling out The House of Black.
Malachi. Yeah,
Malachi Black and the House of Black for costing him the Atlantic title, the All-Atlantic title, I'm sorry. And so I guess we got a video, I mean, we got more coming on that. I don't know how this one's going to emerge or play out. I mean, Miro's alone, bro. What's he going to, they're going to beat his ass every time.
Well, not really.
They're
going
to have to set up some kind of match where it's just between them. The other guys are barred from the back, or obviously because the shark cages don't work. We've already seen that. So I don't know. They're going to have to do something, though, to get Malachi Black away from, you know, the House of Black so they can end up having a match at some point. And I guess that's going to be at All Out, I would imagine. Which is coming up when, bro?
September 4th.
So we're a month away from that, brother. A month away.
Yeah.
So moving back on from the break, another video. And actually, you know, I don't mind these videos because they're part of telling the story. You know what I mean? So I don't mind these videos at all. So points for the videos. They did a lot of videos tonight and shit. Points for them because, you know, I'm starting to get to know the characters a little bit more. So we had Darby Allin talking about his feud with Brody King.
And then casket match.
Yeah, it was announced that we're going to have a casket match next week. So already we have something to talk about for next week because it's going to be Darby Allin and Brody King. At the Quake of the Lake, whatever the hell that means.
That's just the name of the special Dynamite.
Oh, okay. That's the one where they're going to be at the like Fyter Fest and shit. They all have a name.
Yeah.
Like Quake at the Lake. So then Jim Ross comes out, and Christian Cage comes out to the ring. And Matt Hardy and Christian Cage and Matt Hardy have a match. Did we need to see this match, bro?
I mean, it's between two legends, so you got to appreciate it. But
I did. I actually did. I watched it.
It was a good match. Don't get me wrong, but fuck me. But fuck me. Matt is so out of shape. He's done, dude. Like, he's so done.
At this point, bro, I mean, I don't even know why he's still wrestling. He should just, that faction that he had did him no favors. He went about it wrong or something. I don't know. It just didn't play out the way I would have wanted it to play out or the way I would expect it to play out. Because, bro, Matt Hardy has got, I mean, you know, man, he's Matt Hardy. He's got a genius mind. He's been doing this shit for fucking years. People used to hate him and call him Matt Lardy. The next thing you know, he turns the tables on him and everybody's fucking chanting his phrases and shit. Delete, delete, and all this and that and all that shit. And so I would have expected that you know, faction that he had in AEW to be something better than what it was, bro. But anyway, it wasn't.
Then,
and we're not here to talk about that. He had a match with Christian Cage. It was still a good match. I mean, you know, even though he's out of shape, and you could tell he was severely gassed, though.
Yeah.
So the winner of the match was Christian Cage, which, you know, you had to know that Christian Cage was going to win because right now he's the guy being pushed, you know, as the big bad guy, so... It just had to be. So then the match, he wins the match,
Hardy,
and then afterwards...
Matt Hardy would have been the one being pushed, too, if not for his stupid fucking brother and fucking being dumb
like
usual.
Matt Hardy wouldn't even have to be doing this, bro. They'd be champions right now or some crazy shit. Matt Hardy was doing this as a result of his stupid brother getting cut. Otherwise, there's no way he would have been in there. You know, he would have been doing something else. But anyway, so Luchasaurus' music starts. Because Christian Cage was getting the chairs out already. He was going to do a concerto on Matt.
The wrong way, by the way. Because
yeah.
He didn't even turn that hardy. He turned him face up looking at the lights. That would have seriously hurt his face.
Oh, yeah. You got to have him on the side.
Yeah.
So Luchasaurus comes out, and Jungle Boy comes from the crowd, no less. Surprising everybody, and this is the part I hate. I hate his stupid fucking song, bro. And they got to do it every fucking show.
Yeah.
Hate that song. But anyway.
But I did like his T-shirt that said Christian is a pussy.
That's a cool shirt. I like it too. Christian is a pussy. So he's selling Christian is a pussy shirts for Christian, mind you. I mean, if you're Christian in this bout, man, it's got to be good. You got to be loving it. But anyway, I digress. Let's see. Daniel Garcia, he's calling himself the
Dragon Slayer,
the best technical sports entertainer in the world, or something like that. It's quite funny, actually. He really takes himself seriously. He was talking about how he beat Daniel Bryan last week, and tells them that when he is better, he wants another match because he wants to slay the dragon. So we'll see how that develops.
To be fair, I take him more seriously than his other two friends. I'm sorry. His other two friends are fucking schmuck.
Oh, yeah. This guy is top-notch compared to them other guys. And by the way, I like that hat he wears. I used to wear one of those myself. It's a real douchebag hat, bro. Triple H used to wear one. I used to wear one, and now he's wearing one. You know, the hat lives, bro.
Stevie Ray used to wear one.
Yeah. All the bad guys. So then we go to break.
He wore it even when he was a good guy. So he was a double dickhead for that.
Yeah.
All right, so
we go to break, and we come back from the break, and I think it's time for the dumpster match.
Before that, though, they played a vignette of Pac and his All-Atlantic Championship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
They confirmed that this dickhead, right, the one who's wearing a box over his head, that stands in the crowds every show, is Kip Sabian. They fucking confirm it.
Oh, that's who it is?
Yes. I've been saying this, that this dickhead is Kip Sabian under the box, and they fucking confirm it tonight.
So there you go. They confirmed it tonight. Christian's been saying it all along. He already knew. So then we go to Ethan Page, who's in the ring, talking about why he's not on TV every week, why he doesn't have an action figure, talking about how he deserves better. But Stokely Hathaway is sauntering into the ring. But he doesn't even see him. He keeps on going and shit, talking shit, asking the fans why aren't they buying his AEW merch. He says that the fans don't have his back. And then he kind of turns around. It's kind of comical. He turns around and he sees Hathaway. But then Hathaway whispers sweet nothings in his ear. And gave Ethan Page a business card. He slips through the ropes, and then Page follows and catches up to him, and they leave together, seemingly. So
I guess that ends with him being with the America's Top Team then, too, because he wasn't doing anything in that group either.
Right? Actually, I think it seems like the America's Top Team is dead. Haven't seen them in a while.
Dead, too. It's dead, too. Scorpio Sky is injured, and, and Dan Lambert, I don't know where the fuck Dan Lambert went.
Yeah, he's on vacation. He ain't got nobody to be a mouthpiece for anymore.
Yeah.
He's on vacation. His segments used to be my favorite segments, by the way. And so, I mean, you know, you got to – AEW's had a hard time lately. They've been having to replace, you know, the likes of CM Punk, the likes of Dan Lambert, the likes of Bryan Danielson. You know, a lot of these big guys and shit that cut great promos, and they've had to replace them with all these pipsqueaks. And they can barely fucking cut a promo.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why the shows, they had taken a dive, but it seems like now these pipsqueaks are getting their niche. They're finding their niche. They're finding their groove. They're working their groove, bro. And they're starting to mean something. And only when they finally do mean something will it all come together. Because right now, there's still loose ends, bro. There's still plenty of loose ends out there, but I digress. So Ethan Page and Stokely Hathaway leave together, yeah. And then we get another backstage deal with Anna Jade and some people that I don't know. Anna Jade, I mean,
dude.
With Tony Schiavone.
Dude, Anna Jade is awful.
Yeah.
Her thing is awful.
It is.
Those are those other guys. Terrible.
Those are those guys.
Yes.
Yeah, those guys.
Their names are
Matt Menard and Angelo Parker, for crying out loud. I had no idea.
They're all awful. This segment was awful. This was horrible. The other one tried to act like a gangster with his fucking comb hair thing, whatever, combing his hair. The other guy was just screaming like a banshee, and then Anna Jay, you know, her being the Dark Order was terrible, but it was not as bad as what's happening right now. She's terrible. Like, what the fuck? Why is she acting like she's like a submission person now? Why is she acting like she knocks out people? She's never done that, ever. I don't get it. Apparently she does now,
beating up the one of the staff members there. Just heinous behavior. Heinous behavior. And so it was a dumpster fire of a segment, which oddly enough led to a dumpster match with the Gun Club coming out. And then we had a whole trash can scene with Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
Max Caster. All this and that.
This match was a callback to the Outlaws versus Mick Foley and Texas Chainsaw Charlie. This was a callback to that.
There you go. So that's why I felt like I've seen it before, huh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had a match. It lasted a good little while, and at the end, the winners were the Acclaimed. Surprising me. I honestly didn't think they were going to win, so I was surprised. What'd you think about the match?
I thought it was good.
All right.
You know, I thought it was a good match. You know, they had all the spots they needed to do. It didn't need to be hardcore because they didn't have no time. The right team won because the Ass Boys are the Ass Boys. What you expect? So yeah, the right team won.
So at the end of the match, after the Acclaimed won, they went ahead and, you know, had them in the dumpster, and they threw them off. The guns off of the stage, creating, you know, a little bit of a pop, a little stir. It was all right. I was entertained. I'm not going to deny it.
Although the spot where, you know, Max Caster threw one of the Ass Boys into the dumpster, that was terrible. I mean, he basically landed on his feet inside the dumpster. I would have wished he would have flipped at least into the dumpster, not land on his fucking feet. That was horrible.
They threw the dumpster off. You could see all of the popcorn they had in there and all the shit they had in there so they could have a soft landing. all of that was exposed. But it still wasn't as bad as when they exposed that all that cushion under the floor or whatever the hell that was a few pay-per-views back. But I digress. So then we they had a break. They come back. Wheeler Utah's coming out with William Regal. Yeah. On commentary, and Chris Jericho with his goons. And then next thing you know, Claudio Castagnoli comes to the ring to even the odds.
Make sure there's no shenanigans.
For Utah Wheeler. So we're going to talk about this when we come back from this break. And we're going to come back from this break, and then we're going to finish off. How about that? It's not going to be bad.
Yeah.
We're going to be out of here early tonight. So stay where you're at. We'll be right back after these words. Dynamite Fallout. Talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amok, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Billy Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, that's Friday night, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local news.
Like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Let's go! You know it!
back. Welcome back to Dynamite Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network. And hey, tomorrow night, something different on the World Generation Podcast Network. It's the return of the Party Cast. That's right, the return of the Party Cast. And tomorrow night, there will be a show with Diablo Toro and Evanston Hughes. And they will be talking about their upcoming UWA championship fight. These will be interviews with two combatants, and they will be talking about the upcoming match for the United World Championship coming up in just about a week or so at Planet of the Wrestling Gods. And search your internet for more on that. But tomorrow night at 10 o'clock Central will be the time for this. So check it out. Check your local listings for Party Cast featuring Diablo Toro and Evanston Hughes. All right. And also be sure to tune in to Full Tilt Boogie this coming Saturday. Don't let the promo steer you wrong. The promo says Friday, but that's just them guys over there. They're full of shit over there. The guys are full of shit over there.
they're fucking assholes.
They're a bunch of fucking pricks, bro, if you ask me. But I digress. Listen to them on Saturday nights going forward, and I'm sure they will have a new promo next week. As if not, we're going to talk shit about them again. Rest assured, yeah. Brother. Rest assured. Claudio Castagnoli comes out to the ring, and the stipulation of this match, Jericho versus Wheeler,
yep.
Utah. If Utah wins, he gets Jericho shot for the AEW Interim World Championship at Quake at the Lake.
There was no chance. Not a chance.
I didn't think it was going to happen, bro. And in the end, it didn't. Honestly, I really don't like Utah and the gang. He seems like he's too small for it. Like, I don't know. It just seems awkward with him in it. But
You have to have the youngest member. You have to have the youngest member in the group. You can't have all veterans.
All a bunch of old guys. You got to have one guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, and don't get me wrong. He's got good chops and whatnot. Nevertheless, he ends up losing the match. Still put on a good performance, I thought. You know, I'm not going to shit on him like that. Put on a hell of a performance. Finally, it was Jericho putting him in the walls in the Lion Tamer.
Yeah, the Lion Tamer, yeah.
The Lion Tamer, yeah.
And
yeah. So we had the Lion Tamer, which is, you know, the walls of Jericho, really. He's called it the Lion Tamer before. Have you known him as long as I've known him?
It's actually different from the Walls of Jericho. With the Walls of Jericho, he just sits on them on his back. With the Lion Tamer, he puts his knee in the guy's neck.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You know what? Yes, you're absolutely right. So thank you. I stand corrected. He taps out. Wheeler Yuta taps out. And then here we go with the madness. Jericho refusing to release the Walls of Jericho.
The Lion Tamer.
The Lion Tamer, pardon me. Then John Moxley's theme hits, the Wild Thing.
With his awful theme music that doesn't fit him at all. I hate it.
I hate it too, bro. Oh, I hate it too, man. I mean, bro, at this point, I mean, I'd rather have this. At this point, I'd rather have that, bro, and I didn't really care for that one either. But, dude, that fucking music is horrible.
Get a Disturbed music or soundtrack or something. Get something from Disturb or something.
Maybe that's the type of shit that calms him down.
Good.
Yeah. So we hear the music. We know what's coming. It's going to be a party. He comes out through the crowd, obviously, and Jericho pulls off. But he has the mic, and he starts talking about how he's bringing out the last survivor of Stu Hart's dungeon, the Lionheart, and we'll see you next week for that. So it's going to be good next week, bro.
Yep, it should be a fantastic show.
I thought it was good this week. I thought it was very good this week. I was entertained.
Yeah.
Primarily, even the women did a good job entertaining me this week. I don't know. I thought it was better than last week, and for sure, way better than the week before.
Yeah.
But next week, I feel like next week's going to be something special, bro.
Yeah. this week's AEW Dynamite had a great crowd reaction too. Not for none, bro. I don't know if you know this, right? Before we go off the air, I don't know if you know this, but on Monday this week's Monday Night Raw held in your hometown.
Yes, I found out about it. I was going to watch it. I had intentions on watching it. I remembered it was here. I had known about it long ago. We were still doing that other show. And I knew they were coming, but, you know, I was not going to buy tickets. I had no idea that Vince McMahon was going to retire a week or two before the show here. Maybe I would have bought tickets if I would have known.
No.
But
I
don't know if the show was it any good.
Dude, not for nothing, dude, right? Not for nothing for Houston, Texas, but I hope they never get another wrestling show again. Dude, I'm sorry. That crowd was fucking horrible this week.
Oh.
Dude, I'm serious.
Bastards.
I'm serious, dude. They barely cared for anything on this past Monday's show. Thing they cared about was Edge and Becky Lynch. That's it. These people couldn't give a fuck about anything on this Raw. They didn't react to nothing. It was a dead crowd. In Houston, Texas.
I've never seen a dead crowd here. I've seen a dead crowd in fucking San Antonio and in Corpus Christi, but never really in here. Actually, no, I take that back. I've seen some bad crowds here where I'm like, man, why aren't these people yelling or anything? And,
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Now, I missed it. I watched a little bit of the beginning, and then I was like, no, it doesn't really matter. I'll have to read about it first and see, and maybe watch some clips. Then I read about it the following day, and I read that there had been changes made. Triple H, you know, running the show now. Did you notice any obvious changes, bro?
Nothing. They just had two triple threat matches to determine who faces Lashley for the U.S. title next week. Bayley's group just beat a lot of women. You know, her group, Bayley returned. She just beat up with women. And that's it. That's it.
So nothing really special.
Nothing really special. And then I'm hearing these idiots online say, oh, man, the new era's here. This was a solid fucking show. You know, AEW's going to go out of business. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, it was solid?
Yeah,
I just might have to go back and see so I can see for myself if it was solid. I doubt that. What was the main event?
The main event was the fucking Usos versus the Mysterios for the tag titles for no reason whatsoever. No reason whatsoever why the Mysterios got a tag title shot. And, of course, they lost, of course. The Usos retain, which begs the question, what the fuck are they going to do with the tag titles now? There's no tag division.
That's their problem, not ours, my friend.
Yeah.
We're in greener pastures right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and cut out for tonight. I thought it was a good show tonight. AEW Fallout, and of course Dynamite Fallout 2. yeah. where we catch you up on all the latest madness that is All Elite Wrestling, and we do it each and every week right here on World Generation Podcast Network. So until next time, I am Chuck Elite, and with my good friend Christian Killjoy, we'll see you again, motherfuckers. Tell them, Christian.
Yeah.
Good night, bitches.
Yeah. Good night, bitches, as Christian says. We'll see you again.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.